Greetings, and welcome to the Vesta Industrial Real Estate Fund fourth quarter 2013 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Lorenzo Berho, CEO for Vesta Industrial Real Estate Fund. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Devin, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for your interest in Vesta and for participating in our conference call to discuss the fourth quarter and full year 2013 results. We will begin today by discussing the key developments and financial results for the fourth quarter and the year. I will then hand it over to Juan Sotil, Vesta's Chief Financial Officer, who will describe in greater detail our fourth quarter financial results. 2013 was an important year not only for Vesta, but also for Mexico as a whole. The government has laid the foundation for sustained economic growth through a strategic partnership, such as Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Pacific Alliance, as well through the passage of key reforms in labor, education, telecommunications, fiscal, and energy, among other areas. We believe that these initiatives will be transformative, much like the NAFTA agreement, which has benefited both Mexico and the U.S. and the United States, I would say Canada too, with an increase in trade from both countries of 506% since its adoption, and seeing intra-regional trade among the three member countries now amounting to over $1.1 trillion a year. At Vesta, we're supportive of the government's new initiatives, not only from the point of view of an industrial real estate developer, but as a Mexican company that believes in the potential that these changes will bring to the country as a whole. Strengthening our economy and fostering closer relationships with our global trading partners will positively impact our business environment at home and increase the attractiveness of Mexico as a destination for foreign investment. Along with these sweeping initiatives, the federal government is also implementing an aggressive infrastructure program to improve the country's ports, railroads, airports, road and border crossings. The impact of these programs will create opportunities throughout the industrial real estate sector, and we are excited for what this will mean for Vesta. While Mexico still has several areas in need of improvement, such as security and income inequality, we're very confident that the country is on the right track, and Vesta is poised to benefit from its upward momentum. In terms of our company's performance for the year, 2013 was characterized by a strong performance, both in terms of our operating results and the continued execution of our growth strategy. We reached important agreements with major multinational clients, further solidifying our place as Mexico's leading industrial real estate company. And also, so our operating results continue to improve on a year-over-year basis. I am very pleased to announce that Vesta recorded strong results in the fourth quarter in all areas of our business. Our revenues grew 21.9% to $15.72 million in the quarter. Our net operating income increased by 22.3% to $15.19 million. Total comprehensive profit for the period resulted in a gain of $42.67 million, 218% above the gain of 13.40 in fourth quarter 2012. Supporting our positive operating results was the nearly 91% occupancy rate, alongside the stabilization of the revenues derived from prior investments. As we announced earlier this year, Vesta successfully negotiated an agreement with Nissan Mexicana to extend the term of the trust from 25 to 40 years. We are pleased with the positive effects this agreement will have on our cash generation cycle, providing long-term support to Vesta's balance sheet and demonstrating our effectiveness in the automotive industry. As with all of our projects, we have made great efforts to fulfill our commitments to Nissan Mexicana in a timely manner. And to date, 5 leases have been signed and 3 buildings have been delivered, in addition to the whole infrastructure for the entire supplier's park. For our portfolio as a whole, we delivered 5 new projects during the fourth quarter. The 3 build-to-suit projects for the Nissan supplier chain park and 2 inventory buildings in Toluca. Therefore, the total gross leasable area increased 6.2% to 1.34 million square meters compared to the third quarter. We're pleased with the results that we are able to share with you today, and we believe they are indicative of a business model that is adaptable to the many thriving industrial sectors in Mexico and will allow Vesta to capitalize on the momentum and the monumental changes that will affect many of our leading domestic industries. Our expertise and efficiency in delivering results to our customers has allowed Vesta to become one of the leaders in the industrial real estate sector and to be able to work with the largest multinational corporations in the world. We expect such opportunities to increase in tandem with improvement of Mexico's economic landscape, to which Vesta expects to realize continued profitable growth and deliver further value to our shareholders. For 2014, Vesta anticipates that the Bajío and Central regions will keep on driving growth during the year, and occupancy rates along the border region to improve as the U.S. economy strengthens. We expect to grow over 14% in terms of rental revenues, with a net operating income margin above 93% and an EBITDA margin of 81.5%, in addition to keeping its focus on cash flow generation. I will now turn the call over to Juan Sotil, who will provide greater detail on our financial results.
Thank you, Lorenzo. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to discuss our results for the fourth quarter 2013. Vesta results for the year reflected our commitment to our growth as a pure-play industrial real estate developer and to demonstrating solid returns for our shareholders. I would like to point out that the consolidated financial and operating information outlined below is based on accounts prepared in accordance with the International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRS, issued by the International Accounting Standard Board, and corresponds to the comparison of the results obtained in the fourth quarter of 2013 with the same period of the previous year. Vesta rental income reached $15.72 million during the fourth quarter 2013, increasing 21.9% from the same period in 2012. The revenue growth stems from 2 major factors, an increase of 21% related to rentals of a space that was vacant in the fourth quarter of last year, and a 4.25% increase related to the inflationary adjustments made in the fourth quarter 2013 on property already rented. However, the increase in revenues was partially offset by several factors, which include a 5.6% decrease related to lease agreements that expired and were not renewed during the fourth quarter 2012 or the fourth quarter 2013, and a decrease of 0.5% related to lease agreements which were renewed during the fourth quarter of 2013 at a lower rental rate, and a 0.5% decline due to the effect of the conversion of rental income denominated in pesos to dollar. Operating costs during fourth quarter 2013 amounted to $840,000, up 12%, of which 9.2% is directly related to the investment properties rented that generated rental income. This increase was primarily attributable to an increase of $0.17 million in property taxes, a decrease of $0.09 million in maintenance costs, and other property-related expenses that decreased $0.02 million, and the property management fee of the Desarrolladora Vesta, which was eliminated. In addition, the direct operating costs from investment properties that did not generate rental income increased $0.04 million or 14.8% during the year. Again, the operating cost increase was mainly explained by the increase of $0.10 million in property taxes and a decrease of $0.07 million in real estate taxes and park maintenance fees for our land reserves properties. Vesta recorded a gross profit increase of 22.5% to $14.88 million in the fourth quarter of last year. Administrative costs for the fourth quarter of 2013 totaled $2.41 million. Administrative costs were mainly impacted by an increase of $0.2 million due to the salaries and expenses of personnel management hired by the new subsidiary, and an increase in legal expenses and fees paid to board members of the Corporate Practice and Accounting and Auditing Committee of $0.19 million. This increase was partially compensated by a decrease of $0.31 million in indirect costs related to the IPO, which were totally capitalized in 2013. Depreciation during the fourth quarter of 2013 reached $0.02 million and was the same during the fourth quarter of 2012. EBITDA for the quarter increased to $12.47 million, or an increase of 28%, from the $9.74 million in the fourth quarter of last year. Other income and expenses in the fourth quarter of 2013 amounted to an income of $53.19 million. The increase is primarily explained from the increase in the gain on the revaluation of our properties and the increase in the income generated by the effect of the variation of the peso-dollar exchange rate in our peso cash balances and in the dollar debt in one of our subsidiaries. During the fourth quarter of 2013, the assessment made in January showed a gain of 58.98 and reflects the conditions of the real estate market observed at this time. At the end of the fourth quarter of last year, the value of our 102 property portfolio was $951.9 million, including the land reserves of $58 million, and had a 14.4 square feet area, or 1.34 million square meters of gross leasable area, and a vacancy rate of 8.95%. Income taxes for the fourth quarter amounted to an expense of $22.85 million. This increase is primarily due to the difference in deferred tax expense between the quarters ended in December 2013 vis-a-vis December of 2012. Vesta profit at the close of the fourth quarter of 2013 amounted to $42.8 million compared to a profit of $4.1 million in the fourth quarter of 2012. Vesta total comprehensive income in the fourth quarter of last year was $42.67 million compared to a gain of $13.40 million in the fourth quarter of 2012, as it reflects the foreign exchange variation in the capital accounts of WTN, one of our subsidiaries. Turning to Vesta balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents, which is comprised of cash, bank deposits, and financial investments, amounts to $8.8 million by the end of the fourth quarter of 2013, compared with $36.9 million recorded in the full year of 2012. The product of our base rent change to tenants acts as the main factor affecting cash flow generation in the fourth quarter. Operating activities generated cash flow of $32.76 million and US $35.78 million during the fourth quarter of 2013 and 2012, respectively. Cash flow generated by the activities of the company in the fourth quarter of 2013 was mainly affected by the increase in recoverable taxes, totaling $10.65 million, mostly related to the value-added tax and the payment of taxes in 2012. CapEx during the fourth quarter of 2013 amounted to $102.94 million, as investing activities were primarily related to payments corresponding to the progress in the construction of our new buildings in the Bajío, in Toluca, and in Aguascalientes for the Nissan project. As of the fourth quarter 2013, Vesta total outstanding debt reached $318 million, of which $2.6 or $8.22 million is related to the portion of the debt that matures in the short term, while $309.8 million or 97% represents the long-term debt contracted with GE Capital. All our debt, as you know, is owed to GE Capital and is guaranteed by a trust, which is tied to most of our income-producing properties as well as the rental revenue derived from outstanding contracts. As of December 31, 2013, 100% of our debt was denominated in U.S. dollars. Vesta fourth quarters and full year 2013 results were very strong, and we remain committed to continuing this momentum throughout this year, seeking profitable opportunities that align our business model. The long-term economic picture of Mexico, coupled with a reviving U.S. economy, will create more valuable opportunities for Vesta and our shareholders. At this point, I would like to open the floor for questions. Operator, if you are ready to please take any questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Ivan Enriquez with HSBC. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Lorenzo, Juan, Aniga, thank you for the call, and congratulations on the quarterly results and the full year results. Definitely, they compare very well with other Mexican companies are being reporting. My first question would be regarding your dividends. I mean, I understand you have a dividend policy of distributing up to 75% of your distributable profit, and that in 2013 you distribute close to $10.5 million in dividends. But what can we expect in dividends for 2014? That would be the first question. And the second is also growth in 2014 in terms of gross leasable area. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Ivan. And thank you for being at the call, and thank you for your comments, and thank you for your full support during this year. I want to first let you know that our policy, and that we have been mentioning all the time this from our roadshow, is related with dividend policy. Our company, we like to distribute dividends, but our company is basically based on development and reinvesting the profits of the company, which is what allows the shareholders not to dilute every time, but on the contrary, to take advantage of this growth opportunity that we perceive. This was a little bit the policy in the past pre-IPO, and it has been the policy in the future. Now, having said that, just as you said, we do have this policy, dividend policy, which is strong, and our company has always paid dividends. So now I'm going to turn to Juan to give you details on your questions. But thank you very much for being with us today.
Ivan, as you know, our shareholders have approved a dividend policy. As you correctly point out, the policy calls out for a distribution of 75%, up to 75% of our distributable cash. If we I will present this spreadsheet on our shareholder meeting to be held on the 13th of March. And of course, all of you are invited as shareholders to that meeting. Our distributable cash amounted to $32.8 million, according to what was approved by the shareholder meeting. We have a principal repayment for 2014 of around $8 million. The amount due for taxes for 2014, as you can see this on our balance sheet, is $1.1 million. We will withhold another $1 million for some essential maintenance capex on properties that were vacated and that would need refurbishing. And therefore, distributable cash after the adjustment is $22.4 million, and 75% of that is a dividend of $16.8 million. This presentation will be made at the shareholder meeting. I will point out that this complies with the policy that was approved after the IPO, and therefore I expect the shareholders to confirm and approve this amount to be distributed not by April the 30th of this year. So dividends are basically $16.8 million. As far as the second question, which was the growth that we expect during 2014, with the projects that we have announced and that we are that will impact our GLA, we expect the gross leasable area we will grow at least 12% or 1.6 million square feet. Of course, during the year we expect to announce new projects, and this would be the minimum growth expectation that you should have.
Excellent. Fantastic, guys. Thank you for all the information, and congratulations again on the yearly report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ivan.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pablo Monsivas with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Congratulations on your results. I have a quick question. I don't know if you can share with us, but what's your NOI growth in 4Q13 versus last 4Q12 of the same properties that were in operation since last year?
Okay, NOI growth. Just give me 1 second. Okay, during 2012. Our NOI for the full year was $48.37 million. And the NOI for 2013 was $55.98 million. That's a growth of 15.7%. And that is an important growth, and we're extremely proud and happy to show this to our shareholders and to the market. But perhaps more importantly, is that the NOI margin has grown from 93.3% in 2012 to 95.7% in 2013. The NOI growth margin, I think it's important. I think it reflects the average occupancy throughout the year. And as long as we maintain a high occupancy level during 2014, I think that this margin is sustainable. NOI is extremely sensitive in our company to vacancy, as it should be in any property operating company. So, and given that we have large spaces, we have to keep a close eye on the rollover of our leases and what have you, no? And as you know, the maturity profile of our portfolio is particularly attractive because we have a very low maturity rate of contracts, you know, on any given year, no? So we're hopeful to keep this NOI steady during 2014.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you very much. Yep. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Maria Madrazo with Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Lorenzo, Juan, Miguel. Thank you for the call and congratulations on the results. I have one question regarding competition. Could you give us some color on how are you sensing the market in Aguascalientes? Are you worried that new competition, such as the announced Finsa Industrial Park and the one from Garza Ponce, may cause difficulties when trying to subscribe new rental contracts from the Nissan project?
Yes, Maria. Well, thank you very much for being in the call, and thank you very much for your question. And our strategy, as we have described in the past, goes to make sure that we are in the most dynamic regions of Mexico. Of course, there are some regions, for example, Monterrey, in which we are not present, because whenever you really need to start with scale. So we have chosen other regions, which we have analyzed carefully, and I think that we have moved in the right direction by exploring that and anticipating, while other competitors were not or had not identified the future opportunities in some regions, as I would tell you, the Bajío region, we were there before, we became the leaders, and that's helped us be there before the great opportunities arrived. Now, of course, afterwards, it's not difficult to see other people following you and trying to also capture part of the opportunity, which is, I mean, a usual part of the business. But that's how we have positioned ourselves. Now, your question goes directly to Aguascalientes, and I would like to differentiate the opportunity. And believe me, being the leader is not easy, but it keeps us busy in making sure that we differentiate our company, anticipate to the opportunities, deliver on time, be close to the clients, develop great relationship with them, and that's the base of our strength. I would like to remind you that 60% of our growth comes from existing clients. So that is another force that we have. But of course, Aguascalientes is new for us and is new for them. So while we were working hard with Nissan in order to make sure that after the people that were bidding against us, we were the selected developer, that is a strong achievement. And that allowed us to be in a unique position, which is we are. If you consider the opportunity that we were able to achieve, and the trust that we were able to develop, and increase the time from 25 to 40 years, it's a unique kind of business, because these are the places where Nissan selects their suppliers to be just neighboring their $2 billion investment that they did. So the kind of companies that we'll establish in this park are the ones that Nissan wants to be right there in the park. So this is different to the rest of the opportunities, which is the tier 2 or tier 3, which could select, not necessarily have to be adjacent to the plant of Nissan. And then, of course, other developers and competition is always welcome. That keeps us all working to be the best. And to improve every time. And I would think that as soon as more suppliers are needed, they could start establishing either inside our park or could take options in other parks related. But of course, the benefit of being at our park is the cost of logistics is immediately. That's like being inside the plant and working hand to hand with Nissan. So I wish them luck in their investments. But of course, the time frame and the investment horizon, and I'm not sure if they are going to lease buildings only, or they will have to sell properties to owners that decide to own their own plants, as it has happened in Guanajuato and in other places. There are already parks at the airport in Aguascalientes who have been basically sold to suppliers that require to own their properties. So it's. There's a little bit for everything, but I would say that our position and the anticipation that we hold is unique for this project.
Thank you, Lorenzo.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Wynn Onia with Qualitas. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Lorenzo, Juan. Congratulations on your results. They are, by any measure, outstanding. And I have a couple of questions. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. The first question is related to maintenance capex and depreciation and amortization of the property. I would like to know if it's being built in your income statement. And the second question goes to the overall real estate assets that you post on $951 million. If you could break up in how much of this is in the current properties and how much is in land reserves. Thank you.
OK,
Okay, maintenance CapEx. Maintenance CapEx is actually not in our income statement, a significant portion of it. We actually split maintenance CapEx on that, a part of the CapEx that goes, that is not capitalizable, for example, painting, I guess, and some of the CapEx that is actually an improvement on the buildings. Let's say that you change the skylights, no, or something to that effect. That CapEx that is part of the structure of the building, that is capitalized, and that part is not part of our income statement. That goes to the value of our properties. And basically, when the real estate appraiser appraises our buildings, it basically goes into there. He basically looks at the building, looks at the status of the building and how old is it, how well maintained it is, and then he makes a judgment call about what is the rental rate of that building. And based on his assessment, he basically produces a value for the property. So maintenance CapEx is not part of our income statement in a very broad way. Now, in terms of the split of our balance sheet value, $951 million corresponds to the whole appraisal of our properties. 893 are the buildings, and 58 million are the land reserves that we have additional to the properties that generate income. I guess that was the split they were looking for, right? And I guess the other thing is, as we have always said, Vesta is not about owning land. We have land reserves because we need certain firepower to respond quickly to client demands of a particular building on a particular region. And we understand perfectly well that our business is about income-producing properties. So broadly speaking, the way that you should look at Vesta is any asset that is not income-producing properties is a concern to management. Land reserves, we have the minimum amount that we consider that we can move in a 18-24-month period. Cash that we have, a significant amount, is due to the follow-on that we did last year. Basically, roughly speaking, if you consider the amount of investments that we need to do in order to finalize both the Nissan project and the buildings that we announced on the third quarter, you can quickly come down to around $190 million worth of leftover cash, and that cash was precisely what we raised on the follow-on. So we're trying, and our commitment was to invest this cash at a profitable and an accretive basis on the next 18 to 24 months. The other items on the balance sheet that are non-income producing, of course, is recoverable taxes. As you know, when we do a building or we do an investment, we pay value-added tax, and we recover value-added tax only from rents. So there is a discrepancy on the timing. So we continuously have to make all the necessary submissions to the Mexican tax authorities to recover this tax. And as most companies in Mexico, tax authorities are slow to return this cash. We're on top of that, and we're trying to improve that return policy, no? And those are the basic asset things that are not income producing, and management is focusing on managing them properly.
Oh, thank you very much. So it would be safe to assume that the gain in revaluation of investment properties was mainly in buildings and not in land reserves.
Of course. I mean, of course. And your question is more, I want to go to a deeper level by the excuse of your question. When we do a building, we consider the marginal cost of land as impact our investment process. So let me give you an example. Of course, we have land in Querétaro that we purchased, 2006, 2007. And we are doing new buildings in the industrial park in Querétaro. When we consider the profitability of the new building, in order to assess the profitability for our investment committee process, which is very stringent, we consider the marginal cost of land. Why? Because as the land reserves in Querétaro get depleted, we need to buy new land reserves, and we will, and so on and so on. So that's how we manage the business. Now, obviously, the mark-to-market, which again is a non-cash item, and basically reflects mainly the value of the buildings that we have in our portfolio, as well as the value of the buildings that we are that are under construction.
I understand. Well, thank you very much for your detailed explanation, and congrats again for the results.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Armando Rodriguez with Signum Research. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Lorenzo and Juan, and congratulations again on the results. And my question is about the vacancy rate. It could be explained by the region of Central Mexico and Baja California. Should we expect a similar rate in the next quarters, or why is that increasing in those regions? Thank you.
Hello, Armando. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think that what we have tried to do, we have done really in the past, is to explain quarter by quarter how vacancy works, because we know how important and how powerful it is to increase the vacancy in each region. So basically, what the first thing that I would like to tell you is that the number, the amount, the 8.9% of vacancy, that 8.95 that we are showing, is really a very conservative number, because it includes the two last buildings that were just finished in December in Toluca. So if we take away those buildings, we would be a little over 5% in terms of vacancy rate as a whole, as a portfolio, as a same stores comparison. So I'm very happy with the results, but we want you to know where we are, and we want to have our regional managers focus on leasing these. So as we finish those buildings in December, we said let's consider them as part of the closing year. So with that, you can see that there is a little increase to the last quarter, but basically it's because we had good activity leasing properties plus the addition of these two build-to-suits, two inventory buildings in Toluca. Basically, this would be my comment. The rest of that goes to regions in which, if you can compare the impact of those, some of them have shown a tremendous improvement in terms of vacancy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Armando.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is a follow-up question from the line of Maria Madrazo with Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Sorry if you have already mentioned this, but should we expect to see any advance in your debt refinancing during this year?
In my debt refinancing? Well, our debt matures in 2016. We're that's a monitoring process. We will seek any opportunities to refinance this debt. Just to recap, the debt maturity profile prior to the IPO was basically to have a significant maturity in 2013, and we basically felt that we wouldn't be successful in doing the IPO with this $280 million debt that was during last year. So prior to the IPO on 2011, we basically negotiated the reschedule of this debt 2016 with GE General Electric. The timing was not perfect. We finalized the documentation and priced this debt just a week after the U.S. was downgraded. Uh, uh,
but before the QE started with Mr. Bernanke in October. So we were, what was a very good rate at the time ended up being not the best of conditions that we have today. We're looking forward to renegotiate and fund Vesta at a more attractive debt rate, and we will keep watching. Basically, I think that it's going to be a tough proposition for this year, but perhaps starting the following year, we will see some opportunities to do this.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the floor back over to management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much, Devin, and thank you very much, all of you, for participating in Vesta's 2013 fourth quarter conference call. We look forward to speaking with you again when we release our first quarter 2014 results. However, if you have any questions in the meantime, please do not hesitate to contact our investor relations department with any questions. I also want to encourage you to participate in our shareholders meeting, which is going to be held on March 13 in Mexico for all investors. We love to see you there. We love to hear your questions directly in that important event that we have. And we also want to thank some of you who have done who have been covering our company, and that really increases the knowledge and helps us share the news and what's going on with, of course, your own analysts and opinions, which is also helping us to have more coverage. That I want to express my gratitude to you. And finally, I wish you a very good and nice day. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you for your participation.